55 years ago, the best friend of novelist John Steinbeck was hit by a train after his Buick stalled on the tracks near Cannery Row. At his death, Ed Ricketts was something of a celebrity. Steinbeck had cast Ricketts as the fictional duck in his best-selling novel. Tomorrow, NPR's Renee Montaigne tells the tale of the real-life doc of Cannery Row. Today, she recalls one of American fiction's most famous locales.
John Steinbeck began his story this way. Cannery Row in Monterey in California is a poem, a stink, a grating noise, a quality of light, a nostalgia, a dream. The stink, of course, was the stink of sardines. It was the 1930s and 14 canneries lined Ocean View Avenue. The view was a veritable ocean of sardines pouring into the canneries that gave the street the name by which it was universally known. Doris Bragdon was a teenager then, living a few blocks from Cannery Row and being courted by a young cannery worker named Joe.
I lived in Pacific Grove and we had a front porch. When Joe would come to arrange a date, he'd come to the house and his clothes would be all smelly and he would stand on the porch and I'd make him stand on the porch instead of coming in.
Downwind from her.
Downwind.
Joe Bragdon remembers that each cannery had its own distinct whistle that would signal to its own workers in the hours before dawn that the sardine boats had arrived.
My cannery had an unusual tone to it. It was kind of a high-pitched squeal rather than a deep, throaty tone. It would actually wake you up. You could sort these out in your sleep.
Back in the 1930s and 40s, more than 100 sardine boats plied the waters off Monterey. Today, Anthony Russo's green and white boat is practically the only one left. His father and uncle were part of a long line of Sicilians who fished sardines, and Anthony Russo has vivid memories of Cannery Row before the sardines all disappeared.
Back in those days there when all the fishermen went fishing, they used to all meet on the old wharf. They used to go fishing with their suits, and then they change on the boat, so they come down there all dressed up after they had a Sunday dinner, you know what I mean? There'd be like 200 men down there. And then as the skippers came down and the skiffs were there, they got in the skiffs and they rowed out to the boats to go fishing for the week.
This was the world that John Steinbeck conjured up in his novel Cannery Row. The book wasn't about fishing or canning sardines, but the real Cannery Row was so colorful in its heyday that historian Michael Hemp insists the book is barely a novel at all.
There was no shortage of really unusual people here on Cannery Row to write about. The fiction wasn't even a stretch of the imagination. All John had to do was look around, and he had plenty of material here.
Lee Chong's grocery, while not a model of neatness, was a miracle of supply. You could buy at Lee Chong's a pair of slippers, a silk kimono, a quarter pint of whiskey, and a cigar. You could work out combinations to fit almost any mood. The grocery opened at dawn and did not close until the last wandering vagrant dime had been spent or retired for the night. Not that Lee Chong was avaricious, he wasn't, but if one wanted to spend money, he was available.
Tomorrow, NPR's Renee Montaigne revisits the man whose story was at the center of the book, Cannery Row, a legendary marine biologist and philosopher named Ed Ricketts. He died 55 years ago this week. There's a new biography of Ricketts. It's titled The Renaissance Man of Cannery Row. Photos of Cannery Row, past and present, are at npr.org.